Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, our helper and comforter, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith are words that Jesus spoke the night before His crucifixion, words about the Holy Spirit that He would send to His disciples, the Holy Spirit that He sends to us. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever noticed that when you have a job to do, even if it's a job that you really don't like doing or you're dreading doing, if you have a helper or someone to share that task with, it makes it much easier, much more palatable, and sometimes even enjoyable? Obviously, I think it has something to do with the fact that our workload is lessened when someone else helps us out or is working by our side. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's the companionship, the sharing in the activity, the simple knowledge that you're not going about doing this all by yourself. Someone else is going through this with you. Someone else is right there by your side. This is especially true if the particular task you are sharing with someone is with someone that you really care about, someone that you enjoy being around, someone that you love. Well, after Jesus ascended into heaven, I can imagine that His disciples all experienced some moments of weakness, times where I'm sure they felt like maybe they had been left all alone, left by themselves to carry out this work that Jesus had commissioned, and they're just left by themselves to do it. Now, sure, Jesus had promised them just before He left that He would be with them always, even to the end of the age. But where was the proof? How could they be sure that Jesus actually was still with them spiritually, even though He was not with them visibly anymore? How do they know He was with them, helping them to perform that work of spreading the good news of salvation that He had commissioned them to do? Well, that proof came with the sending of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, on that day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. This Helper that He had promised them. This Helper, the Holy Spirit, not only made their work easier and joyful for the apostles, it was His miraculous power that gave them the very ability and the desire, the will, the want to go out and do this work of preaching the gospel. This word for helper that Jesus uses in our text to describe the Holy Spirit is a special word in the Greek. It is the word parakletos, from which we get the word paraclete. I have to say that word carefully so no one thinks I'm saying parakeet, not the tiny little tropical bird, but paraclete. Maybe you've heard that word before in reference to the Holy Spirit. This word literally means one who is called alongside to help. It can mean one who gives protection, help, and security, a helper, a comforter, a counselor. What a perfect word to describe the Holy Spirit. This helper, the Holy Spirit, was exactly what the apostles of Jesus needed when they were facing some persecution or deep persecution from some of the same men who had condemned Jesus to death. This Holy Spirit was exactly what these men needed when they faced the daunting task of preaching the good news of salvation in Jesus to the entire world, starting at Jerusalem, on through Judea and Samaria, and then on to the ends of the earth. The good news I want to share with you and remind you of on this Pentecost Sunday is that this same helper, this same Holy Spirit, has been given to us as well. Well, again, how do we know that? How do we know that the Holy Spirit's been given to us? Where is the proof? We don't have the luxury of the tongues of fire appearing over our heads like they did, like the disciples had on Pentecost. We probably haven't spoken miraculously in different languages like the apostles did on that great day of Pentecost. So how do you know, how do I know that we've been given this gift of the Helper, the Holy Spirit? Well, start with your baptism. Have you been baptized? If so, then Jesus says you've been born of water and the Spirit, the capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Well, if so, then you know you have the Holy Spirit. He is the one who moved you to say that. He is the one who was there in your heart, giving you the power and the ability to believe, to confess and believe that Jesus is Lord. You know then that the Holy Spirit is not just by your side to help you, but as the Apostle Paul reminds us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Therefore, we also have the assurance of salvation. Jesus reminds us in our text of one of the ways the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus told his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So that was true for the disciples, but how does the Holy Spirit teach us? How does he bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus said and Jesus did? Well, you probably know the answer. It is through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works through this Word of God, and remember, we have an advantage over the apostles of Jesus' day. They had the Old Testament they could turn to and hear the words of God for themselves, but they did not have the complete, finished New Testament. We do. The Holy Spirit then teaches us and brings to our remembrance the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did through that very Word of God. When we hear it and we study it each Sunday, when we read devotions for ourselves from God's Word during the week, we are being taught by the Holy Spirit. It's a pretty good teacher to have. In fact, he gives us the knowledge that is truly the greatest wisdom we could possibly have. And God has revealed it to many of us from very little on, even from the time we were infants. The Apostle Paul wrote of this incredible wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches us. He wrote these words to the young pastor Timothy and said, "And that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." He also wrote to the Corinthian congregation, "What we received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the blessings freely given to us by God. We also speak about these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual truths with spiritual words. However, an unspiritual person does not accept the truths taught by God's Spirit because they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually evaluated." Our helper, the Holy Spirit, does more than just teach us about the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection. The Holy Spirit actually makes it our own. As we confessed in Luther's explanation to the third article just a few minutes ago, the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed says this: "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. It was Martin Luther's way of ending the explanations of the articles of the Apostles' Creed, and that's sort of just a way of saying amen with about three exclamation points. This is most certainly true. There is another great blessing that our Savior gives us and all believers through His Holy Spirit. And we hear Jesus promise it to His disciples in the last verse of our text. Those comforting, familiar words of verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Holy Spirit is our helper by giving to us Jesus' peace. When the Holy Spirit enlightens us, when He rejuvenates our dead hearts with His Word, He shows us and gives us the peace that Jesus won for us. Notice how Jesus puts it. He doesn't just say, "I give you peace." He says He gives my peace. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Those are powerful, comforting words, because think of how important and powerful peace is. Just earthly peace in our lives is so important and so essential in your relationships with people, the people around you, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your spouse, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your classmates, your family members. Life can become very difficult or even unbearable if you don't have peace with the people who are closest to you. Think also of how important it is to have peace in our country, how prosperous our nation is because in part we have had peace and not have had to fight wars constantly on our country's soil. You think of what the people in Ukraine or Israel would give up right now to have a country that is experiencing peace. How precious it would be to them to have earthly peace. But the peace that we are given through the Holy Spirit is much more miraculous. It's much more valuable. And it's much more long-lasting than any kind of earthly peace. And the warring factions in this story of our lives between us sinful human beings was not between two nations or two ethnic groups. It was between us and God. It was a peace that we destroyed by our own sin. It was a battle that we could not win. How could sinful human beings win a war against the holy, almighty God? We were destined to lose, and lose eternally. And yet God, the one who was wronged by us, by His own creation, He's the one who chose to make peace with us. And He did it not by fighting a physical war, but by sending His Son Jesus as the peace offering to take away all our sins. That peace was made our own when the Holy Spirit created faith in your heart and mine through the Word of God. Paul says this very clearly in Romans chapter 5, where he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That peace that we have with God in turn then gives us peace with our fellow believers. It inspires us to love the souls of our fellow human beings, or as the Bible calls them, our neighbors. Jesus' peace also gives us a peace within ourselves, a valuable peace that cannot be priced, the peace of sins forgiven, the peace of having a clear conscience, that our souls have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, spotless. Again, this incredible peace is given to us through the Holy Spirit. Again, as we confessed in the explanation of the third article, in this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. I'm always so thankful for that little word, all. He daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. If you've ever been plagued by a guilty conscience before, and who hasn't? If you are a living, breathing human being, you've probably been plagued by a guilty conscience before. You know how priceless that internal peace is. King David once described guilt as a relentless, bone-crushing illness that plagued him day and night. A spiritual disease that causes us emotional and physical pain and sickness. It is a plague which only confession and forgiveness can cure. Jesus gives us that conscience-clearing cure when he gives us his peace through his Holy Spirit. Again, he says in our text, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let not your heart be troubled by your sins. Let not your heart be troubled by the world around you. Let not your heart be troubled by the future before you. Neither let it be afraid. So no matter where you are, no matter what you are doing, even if you are all alone, you are never alone. You have a helper by your side. You have the Holy Spirit. And he does more than just help lighten our earthly burdens. He's the one who enables us and gives us the will and the strength, the words to speak as we go out and carry out the great commission that our Savior has given us, to spread his good news to others. The Holy Spirit is our faith creator, our faith strengthener, and our faith sustainer. He's our helper who does more than just give us joy and make our work pleasant. He makes our work pleasing to God. On this day of Pentecost, we praise our Savior for not abandoning us when he ascended into heaven. He has given us the helper, the comforter, the counselor, one who is right by our side and within us, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.